Hi, everyone, and welcome to another episode of The Queer Quadrant, a podcast where we, two bisexual filmmakers, examine cinema in all its cultural contexts and explore why your favorite four-quadrant blockbuster is maybe not as straight as you think it is.
So, famously, during production of this movie, Tommy Lee Jones and Jim Carrey didn't get along with each other.
Heard that,
and
yes.
And I think it really sums up our dynamic in relationship
wow!
when Tommy Lee Jones said to Jim Carrey, "I hate you, I really don't like you. I cannot sanction your buffoonery." I feel like that's me to you, because you're the one who really tangents this podcast. You're the one who really tries to stir the pot a lot.
Uh-huh.
And I just really needed to get that out there so all of our listeners understand the struggle that I have to deal with trying to keep the podcast on the rails.
Do you know what this sounds like to me, Jordan?
No.
It sounds like some buffoonery that should not be sanctioned.
No,
my
you
goodness.
Got me. Oh my God. It was a riddle. You solved it. Congratulations.
Hey. You know, it's so sad that they didn't get along, but also,
but like, I think it kind of feeds into like
feeds
the
into,
queer
yeah.
energy of the, piece,
God,
you know,
there's so much to discuss.
There is.
Okay. We just need to get right into it.
Yes.
Hi, I'm Brooke Solomon.
Jordan Gustafson.
Very nice.
The name's back, or the voice is back.
Yeah. Please don't bring it back on a regular basis. Listen, we love talking about movies. We love talking about being queer. We love talking about queer movies. Oof. Here we are talking about them on mic. Today, we are covering 1995's controversially received film, Batman Forever. And we are joined by the wonderful Carly Usedon, filmmaker, comic book creator, and Batman Forever fan.
Number one Batman Forever fan. Would be
love
the
to
official
it.
Title. Yeah. Thank you so much for having me. I could not be more excited to talk incessantly about my favorite film.
That's what we love to hear. Honestly, like, there's nothing more exciting than when a guest actually like loves the movie that they're here to talk about, you know? Because like, we all love talking about movies, but like, when it's a movie you love, that's exciting.
And yes. Like, the list of movies that we were looking at, like, there were some really good ones on there, and I was truly shocked that Batman Forever was not taken yet. So I couldn't not do it.
Well, full spoilers, we are definitely like working through the Batmans. I mean,
yes.
We covered a pretty good amount of them.
We keep adding Batman films as
yes.
they either come out or like we watch them and reevaluate them. And then every couple of months, either a guest picks one or we're like, let's trot out this Batman that we haven't done yet. But it's cool. I feel like eventually we're just going to have like a really wonderful and extensive thesis.
We'll
about...
have covered every Batman film, basically.
Well, there's so many to cover.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
There's so many. And a new one is upon us, which
exactly.
is very exciting. I mean, like, famously have tweeted in the past that I am tired of gritty, dark Batman movies, but also I am very excited about this movie and will be seeing it in the theater. I don't care.
Yep.
Oh, yeah.
I have my tickets for tomorrow. Spoiler alert.
Yes. Yeah, I think that obviously we're recording this before it comes out, and by the time it is released, the film will have been out. So
should we say on mic, all right, like, what do we think?
Why, like, our predictions?
Like, our predictions. Yeah, just out of, like, just quick... stars, how many you think? I think it's going to be delightful. I am very excited for Rob Pattinson.
Yeah.
Yes.
Really struggled through that one.
Yeah.
I think I'm going to be obsessed with everything Zoe Kravitz is doing.
That
I'm excited for the noir tilt. And other than that, I am not really sure. Mm. But I'm going in with positive expectations.
I am as well. Look, my favorite, and we're going to talk about this a lot today, my favorite Batman villain is the Riddler. So I'm excited to see the Riddler in film. We haven't seen him since, in live action, since 1995's classic that we're about to get into. So I'm very excited for that. And I think the reimagining of the Riddler as a serial killer is a very cool way into the character.
Yeah.
So I'm into that. I'm into anything Zoe Kravitz ever does ever.
Correct.
And I love the idea of an emo Batman. So I'm excited. I'm excited, but, you know, cautiously, because, you know, how many gritty Batmans do we need? The answer is
one
more than I think.
Hello.
no, Gotham, it's me, the Riddler, sort of talking like Bane from the future. No, sorry, it's Jordan, and I just figured that I would leave a little riddle here for you all, you know, like the Riddler calls Batman, and here I am calling you to tell you from the future that the Batman is absolutely fucking amazing. Brooke and I both love it and think it is a wonderful adaptation of Batman to the screen. I mean, I literally keep thinking about it, the score, the cinematography, Robert, Zoe, Colin Farrell's Penguin, it's all just so good. I want to see it again. That's all. Bye, Batman. Or I guess it would be like, bye, Batman.
Putting it to you, what's your relationship? Why the Riddler? How did you come to like become a Batman fan? Sort of lay it out for us.
I've been a Batman fan since a very young age. I spent a lot of time in my local comic book shop growing up because I didn't have a lot of friends, so mostly just hung out with my mom and the dude that ran the comic book shop. It's pretty
very
cool.
Very relatable.
Uh-huh. Yeah. So, you know, it was like the 90s, and so I was really into X-Men and Batman were kind of like my number ones on each side of that aisle.
Were you an animated series fan?
Loved the animated series.
Yeah. The best.
Love it. It's so good.
I watched Mask. Sorry, not to tangent again. I watched Mask of the Phantasm this morning just for like anticipation.
I haven't seen that in so long.
It's
oh my God.
So good.
It's so good. I fell in love with Batman and I really loved Robin as well. I thought
yes!
that like I was like a like, kind of like
speaking
a Robin stan.
Yeah.
There was like there and like. So my parents used to watch the reruns of the old 1960s Batman TV series, and I would watch it with them every night. It was on like Nick at Night or whatever. And I thought it was the greatest thing I had ever seen. Like so much of my sensibility as like a filmmaker and my like sense of humor and campiness as a queer person, so much of it I think is derived from the early 60s Batman or the late 60s Batman series that I haven't really dug too deep into it, but I'm sure there's a lot there. But
yes,
I loved the Riddler immediately. I don't know, I love anyone. I love a puzzle. I love puzzles. I mean, there's so many great Batman villains, like the whole, I mean, like arguably the villains are the more interesting part of that universe than yes. the good guys. Mm-hmm. So, yeah, I don't know. I don't know why I love the Riddler so much. Maybe it was just puzzles. But, you know, and then 1995, we're at like the height of Jim Carrey fanaticism. I was a huge Jim Carrey fan, loved Jim Carrey, and like was doing like Ace Ventura impressions at school for my no friends. So, again, really popular kid.
For the comic book store guy.
Yeah. You know? Yeah. Oh, the comic book store guy. I love it.
I love this impression. Oh, my God.
Yeah. So, like, you know, I was just like, I was like, oh, I'm sorry, my favorite character is coming to the big screen and my current favorite actor is going to play him and chew up every bit of scenery. Mm-hmm. I am here for this.
It's that fabulous. It's so wonderful.
I'm like overwhelmed right now, I gotta be honest, because like I feel like we had a very similar childhood. Like I grew up going to like Newbury Comics, which was like the local comic shop. I am the biggest Robin fan / Nightwing.
Can't
like Dick Grayson specifically is like my guy. And like growing up, I was so obsessed with him. And my parents, I kept asking for a Robin toy growing up and they couldn't find it because Robin's like not that popular. And so like they worked and worked and worked. And eventually it was like the best Christmas of my life when I got like this one like Batman the Animated Series Robin toy, and I have like cherished it forever and is like still like
I was gonna
on
say
my
do
bookshelf.
You have it?
Yeah,
that's amazing. I need my parents to send me my old action figures and my old comic books, but that's another story.
Exactly, yes. But I basically took it from home and I was like, I am taking this back with me.
Smart.
And then also similarly grew up with the 60s Batman show and like movie, and that like camp sensibility has definitely like found its way into my sense of humor, I think, like especially everything with the bomb. Everything is just like
bomb. Oh my God,
the best. The
I
best.
I'm at the risk of unplugging something, you can't see it. Okay, see that rainbow flag poster on the wall?
Yes.
Above it, it's hard to see, but I got an artist on Etsy to recreate the United Underworld Gotham villains octopus on top of a
that's amazing
octopus with the earth logo. Yes. That's on the wall in the lair in the film.
That rules.
That's
I found
amazing.
A guy on Etsy that drew it and got him to make it for me because I was
that's
like
awesome.
I love, and then I have a movie poster over on the other wall. I'm a ridiculous person.
No, absolutely not. No, I had growing up in college, I had a Batman. I don't know if you remember this when you come over, but I had like a Batman 60s poster, like nice. Sort of on the floor in my room.
Yeah. Oh yeah. Yes. Okay.
Yes. Yeah. Now it's coming back to you. It's so mm-hmm. long ago.
Mm-hmm. Jordan was my RA in college, and that's how yes. we know
Stop
each other.
It. Yeah. That's so cute. Oh, what a cute origin story.
Oh, I really know. Yeah. And then yeah. he gave me my first internship, and what did I give you in return?
A podcast. Woo.
Insults. Yeah, I love it. I feel like Jordan is at you're at your purest when you're geeking about Batman. So this is really beautiful yeah. to see.
Like just for like because in like when this movie came out, so I don't remember this movie coming out as much obviously because I was a baby, but when Batman and Robin came out, it was one of the most formative, like it's like that cornerstone memory I have of like the DVD, not the DVD, like the VHS. Like I remember like begging my parents to go to the library to like get the Batman VHS, and like I would constantly rent Batman and Robin and this Batman Forever because it was like it had the camp sensibilities. Like Batman Returns, I don't think it would be good for a young kid. It's a little too horny, but Batman and Robin and Batman
too.
Forever yeah. are perfect.
Batman Forever is incredibly horny. What are
that's
you talking
actually
about?
sorry.
Batman
it's
Returns
horny,
is darker.
It's
darker
scary.
For sure.
Scary
it's
horny.
Yeah.
This is fun horny.
Yeah.
There's
it's,
like a
it's
the
like,
line it's balancing.
Batman yeah. Returns is sexy. This movie is horny.
That's true. Yes, yes.
Yeah, that's a yeah. good distinction. Yeah. That's a really strong distinction and a really good one to make. My formative VHS cassette was probably, I'm older than you. I'm going to date myself here. My formative VHS moment was probably Waiting for Guffman, but
Love
which I did have on
that
VHS.
Rules. That's a good one.
But Batman Forever came out when I was 13. So I was at like the perfect age of like.
It's amazing.
Nerdy, you know, preteen, teen, like, yeah. just like, oh my God, I was so excited to see this movie.
Now, did you have the Batman Forever McDonald's mug?
Jordan Those, is like, obsessed with this
I'm
mug.
I'm obsessed with these mugs.
It's,
they're like,
is it? It's clear.
They're the coolest it's, things ever. We will tweet them, but they're like these clear, see-through mugs with like the characters on them. And like, they are the coolest thing. Like, I have always wanted one, have never had one. It's sort of been that, like, holy grail, lusting after forever, you know?
I never had them, but I also want them very badly.
Maybe that'll be the thing. Like, after
the,
this,
the McDonald's tie-in with this movie is so strong. It's in the opening scene of the film.
Oh, yes.
Yeah. Yeah. You don't. It's crazy how it opens. I can't believe it opens with the line that it opens with.
Oh.
Should we, do you want us, who wants
Oh yeah, so yeah, you guys yeah. tell me, where are we at in the process?
Oh no,
oh,
no.
God.
You can just say the line, because
you say
Alfred
it.
Goes,
I don't
he tells Alfred, I'm going to get drive-thru.
I'll get drive-thru.
Oh yeah.
Wild. Joel Schumacher put his foot down.
Can I persuade you to take a sandwich with you, sir?
I'll get drive-thru.
This is a Joel Schumacher film, so we're going to get a lot of quips.
Yes.
And this is the, you know, Warner Brothers, I feel like, I mean, if we want to get into
it,
like,
let's dig in.
So, like, the first Batman did well, and Jack Nicholson was a great Joker, and people loved it. And it, like, changed everything.
Yeah.
Like what we think of today as these big, cinematic tentpole events, the Marvel and DC universes, that was not a thing. Some might say it was a more interesting time for, you know, non-IP related
having like
projects,
some auteur filmmakers behind
thing.
Big blockbusters
you
kind
know,
of fun
yeah.
I don't know
you know the mid-range budget feature
Nothing
you
better.
Know things like rom-coms those things used to exist but anyway Batman changed everything and then Batman Returns like doubled down on it and from what I've read Tim Burton who directed both said that the only way he would come back and do it again was if he had complete creative control. And that's how you got Batman Returns, which is a great movie. It's the first time we ever saw like the doubling up of the villains, which has become a staple of the Batman franchise, including the Batman that comes that by the time everyone's listening to this, it will already have been out. But like that like started the like, you can't just have one bad guy. You got to burn through two of them. And it's a big spectacle and you're casting these huge actors to play these like comic book characters. It was completely unheard of. Whereas now people are like, oh, who's getting added to the Marvel Universe right. next?
Who's it's playing like the sixth supporting character in like
right.
this
yeah,
year?
Yeah, exactly. But it's like such a big
deal. Marvel film.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's insane.
But like Michelle Pfeiffer as Catwoman.
Really special.
Yeah, life changing.
Of course.
Honestly, Danny DeVito is
also,
so also iconic.
Traumatizing. Him traumatizing. Biting the guy lives in my head rent free.
Yeah. It's like such a Tim Burton movie. Yeah. It's like, let's make this really fucking weird. Let's make it kind of terrifying, but it's also for kids and we'll just see what happens. And it's his whole like thing. Like you yeah. can see, like, it's like the production design, like all of, like the palette, like it all feels like a Tim Burton movie. And then Warner Brothers was like, people seem to like that movie, but we really want to make like a family action comedy thing, and we want to make even more money. And as we know now, superhero movies are such a cash grab. We all will go see them. We all will. It's just what we're going to do.
Me on my little way tomorrow.
Yeah.
So they bring in Joel Schumacher, who tragically passed away last year, which I feel like also the timing of that was like a moment of like suddenly everybody was like, let's all write pieces about how Joel Schumacher was an underappreciated genius all of a sudden. And I'm
thanks
like,
a
where
lot.
Was suddenly this? We care about Batman and Robin?
Even like Batman and Robin, like, sure, there's stuff wrong with it. But like you watch that movie and if you're not having a fun time, there's something like I think deeply wrong. Like that movie is so funny. Yeah. It's incredible.
It's entertaining. Yes. And I think that like people like to... There's something that I feel like it's like I'm materializing a thought, like I'm synthezing.
It's like
it
the
as
Riddler
we speak,
has the
like,
thing to your head.
Oh my god, literally. I'm Ed Begley Jr.
Poor Ed Begley Jr.
I feel like people hold DC movies to a higher standard than Marvel. Don't you think Marvel people are like fine if it's entertaining?
Yes.
Like people will still be like, Eternals wasn't that good. I loved Eternals. But like it seems like people will give Marvel a pass for anything it does, but any Batman gets like picked to shreds. And it's like, don't you feel like that? Like, these were such entertaining movies. Like, and this was before you had the Nolan Batmans. Like, it's not even like you had that to compare it to. You didn't have Heath Ledger's incredible Joker to compare this to and to be like, it's gotta be like dark and gritty. And like, those are great movies and everyone loves Bane voice. I think Bane voice is the funniest.
Oh, it's the
thing.
Best. We frequently... Oh, no. You go too high every time. Born on the
Wait, have you guys watched the Harley Quinn animated series on HBO Max?
It's
okay,
because like cinema.
I love that they just like riff on the Bane voice.
Bane is
so
the entire
good.
Show. So
that is like
it's
my favorite.
The,
yeah,
that, she
thing.
That's
Brooke
my favorite
turned
piece
me on
of
to it,
DC media,
and it is the
it's
best
so
thing
good.
In the world.
It's amazing, but I yeah,
it is. So good.
It's so good. And I mean, the Riddler in that show is wonderful. Yes. Like, totally different take, but I love it. I think like what you said, Carly, about Marvel and DC and like the audience standard is really interesting. And I think like it has to stem from the comics, since the DC comics are so beloved. And outside of Spider-Man, like the Marvel comics, like the way that they built the MCU was like based off of relatively unpopular characters or characters that like didn't have the same cultural cachet as like Batman and Superman without this like built-in stable of villains.
That's a really good point, because like Iron Man, no
There's
one gave a
one,
shit about Iron
like,
Man.
Famous on... Iron Man comic, and it's like, okay,
yeah, like they're like let's start our whole like Avengers universe and base it off of this. It's like that should not have worked as well as it did, but it did.
Yeah. I think there's a self-seriousness that also I think sort of not intentional or unintentional, but like a lot of the DC stories, like you look at like Batman and stuff, like it's kind of serious, and people I think, I don't want to say like to think of themselves as like intellectuals, but I feel like people like to see like a dark and gritty Batman because they feel like it's more challenging or is more like adult and mature, and like therefore want to like overly critique the DC stuff because they're like, this is like a real movie versus like popcorn and fun.
Yeah.
So like then when you have a Schumacher movie that is like can't be popcorn fun like the 60s, people are like, oh, this is so childish, this, but like ultimately it's how the comics started, and like all comics are goofy and dumb, like that's what they are to the core. So I think it's like people wanting to like read in and make a thing that is like ultimately like intentionally for kids more adult, you know?
Yeah, I think it's it's interesting to look at like that in the state of modern DC too, where it's like you do have all of these offshoots sort of where you have, I don't know, multiple versions of Batman or Superman or whoever, like going at a time. You can cherry pick which avenue you want to go down, whereas I feel like Marvel is so homogenous that there's, outside of the people that are like, I think that all Marvel movies are the peak of cinema, there's not really room to like pick and choose, oh, but like I'm better because I like this section of like Marvel, or I like this particular storyline that's like not connected to the main one. Like everything is just so pushed together that you're either in or you're not in.
That's a really good point. Plus the DC universe is like kind of fractured across TV and film in a way that is like has always been extremely confusing.
So fractured.
And like, because I've never gotten into the TV DC universe,
like the CW,
the Arrowverse, CW thing. Like, and then that is ostensibly like YA content, you know, for better or for worse. And like Batwoman's a great show. Like there's really good stuff in there, but it's very strange to me that then there is like another Flash and another like Batman and another super like that are
all existing
elsewhere. Yeah. And it's like, I get it. Like we all know that in the comic books, like there's like
different Earths,
you know, they reboot
everything.
Them constantly. And there's so many different variants and multiverses and whatever. But I've always thought that that was like confusing. And the fact that Marvel has like kept the continuity as they've moved into series and like brought everything to Disney Plus, I don't know. I think that's really good.
Yeah.
I'm curious to see.
Like I love a continuous universe. I love the fact that it is massive and it is something that is really incomprehensible to like any other franchise or thing. But like, I don't know. I think it's pretty great. Like the fact that they give a shit enough to do that, I think shows that they care.
It does. It's like old fashioned, like studio systeming of like these movies. And I think that like, I actually love that you said that, because I feel like so many people, their first instinct is to be like, oh, but the MCU is like destroying cinema. And I think that it's difficult when something is so overbearing to like look at it critically and be like, no, but this is actually a cool concept. It sort of sucks that it's like pushing out a variety of other cinematic achievements, but like when you actually look at what they're doing, it is very cool.
Totally.
I'm interested to see sort of what DC does kind of going forward, because like I watched Peacemaker and I thought that show was so delightful and like wicked fun, and I'm curious to see sort of like how they go going forward, because like all of their stuff now is like all their movies feel like they're all kind of doing their own thing. And I almost like kind of hope they keep that up, where it's just like James Wan can make his fucking wacky Aquamans. Patty Jenkins can go make earnest like Wonder Woman's, and like some person, you know, like I hope it's sort of like for all intents and purposes, like it's kind of cool that like James Wan's just like fucking around and like James Gunn is like doing his thing, and they all kind of just like can do what they want with their respective like quote unquote property or like comic book. So I'm curious to see if that goes forward, or because they had obviously tried with Snyder to like Marvelize, but didn't really work. So
no, I think that's a really good point. It, and I don't know, I guess this all stems from the comics, but like it feels like the DC, the movies that have succeeded and the series that have succeeded that have like really had an impact are ones where they really let the like genre and style of filmmaking like tie to the character at the center of it.
Yes.
Like the way, like Harley Quinn, Birds of Prey,
exactly.
One of my all-time favorite films. I don't know why people don't love it more.
Exactly,
I've watched it like 4 bajillion times.
Yes.
It's so good. But that is a Harley Quinn movie, and like that style of filmmaking that Kathy Ann brought to it, you would not do that with Wonder Woman. Like, and at the same time, like you know, like the more like earnest Wonder Woman, you know, like romantic tragedy, like wouldn't really work for a Batman movie.
Yes,
so like. That makes sense to me, and it's okay. I think it's like it works in Marvel where like it feels almost like it gets changed up by like genre in Marvel, because like Thor Ragnarok was like a space epic and another one of my all-time favorite films.
It's the best.
I like the ones that are funny.
We have extremely similar taste. We all like the fun, queer, centric.
Yeah, it's like all the ones we're
or
saying,
the campy
lean
ones.
A little more gay. I wonder why we like them.
Yeah,
the ones with like the most queerness and the funniness.
Yep.
Funniness? The funniest, God,
it works.
Words.
Humor.
Yeah,
but it is cool to see, like, you know, especially me, like, as a filmmaker, like, my like, crazy, crazy pie in the sky career goal is to direct Marvel and DC movies. Course, like that yeah. is like what I would dream of doing someday. And to see, like, to see filmmakers get to come in and like really like bring their style,
yes,
but still play within the world, like what Taika did,
yes,
with Thor. He made us care about Thor. No one cared about right. Thor. He was the least interesting Avenger.
This is true.
Like, yeah, and like, you know, the way that like the Loki series, like the look and feel and style of that was so unique. And like then and then like on the DC side, like Patty Jenkins, like what you're saying, like Patty Jenkins has her own style, for better or for worse. And you know, like every I really like that aspect of it as a person who aspires to that
totally.
Sort of job, because that's I mean
that's what we want to do,
like, to
yeah.
get to play in like
play
the
in
DC
the sandbox
or Marvel sandbox, but yeah. still get to kind of put your own spin on it, or at least like, you know, if they hire the right person for the right character or characters, you know, that's like a beautiful harmonious thing. And we've seen it happen so many times. It's really exciting.
Yeah. Yeah.
I mean that, yeah, not to like tie it, but I feel like that ties so much for like this movie and like with Schumacher yeah. and Batman's in general, like Schumacher is so clearly an auteur and like has mm-hmm. such a clear visual style.
Yes.
Like no one knows how to like drench things in like campy neon lights with like gimp suits and hair dye, and it feels like you're like walking through WeHo on a Saturday night. Like no one does that better than him, and he does it so mm-hmm. consistently for so many movies. And to take that sensibility to Gotham like works so well, especially for this movie where you then have the Riddler yeah. and Two-Face, who are like two characters who I feel like are able to kind of take his sensibilities and run with it. Like you look at Two-Face's lair where it's like half and half, everything split
so
down the middle.
With it. It's
like
so good.
I love that the production beautiful. Design of Batman Forever is crazy,
stunning.
It's stunning. It's beautiful. Like I was watching a bit of the like a little like behind the scenes like making of doc mm-hmm. about the movie earlier today, and Joel Schumacher was saying that he just like. Which is like, I was like, yes, I love hearing him say this because it's kind of my philosophy for filmmaking too, because I love collaboration and that's the whole point of what the
filmmaking.
Yes.
Yeah. Like that's duh. And like, but he's an auteur and still understands that, but like hiring on his like team and then just having them giving them like a couple ideas and then being like, go fucking crazy.
Yeah.
And then they come back with like, the city is made of faces because we want the city to feel alive, and it's like
great.
Of course we do, because then you can contrast that with Tim Burton's like, you know, kind of like gothic fairy tale of Batman Returns. It's like so different, but somehow it just works. Like each of them are such unique specific auteur directors that it works. But like, yeah, the neon, the ridiculous costumes, the highly controversial nipples on the bat suit. People
they're
really like talking
best.
About that.
I don't know why everyone
they're
is
awesome.
So up in arms about the fact that there are nipples on the bat suit. It's great.
It's
there
ridiculous.
Should be.
It's also like that's like not to like lean into the queerness, but like he is Schumacher like loves the male form and like bodies
yes.
and like so much of this movie is about that. There's like that shot.
I think the third shot of this movie is like a crotch shot
oh,
of Batman
oh, my,
putting
the,
on
look,
his.
The suiting up sequence.
Yes,
more
yes.
movies need that suiting up sequence where it's
the
just close like up
of
a
close his up ass.
Of everything. His butt. Pull it up. Who knows?
It's like little like pop zooms.
Yes.
Like
yes.
a little pop zoom on
yes.
his
it's
ass.
Excellent.
You're just like, yes.
Yeah, because it.
I am watching a Joel Schumacher film.
We love Joel Schumacher. It's the best because, I mean,
love it.
I think I want you to go back
no,
to
no,
talking
yeah,
about
yeah, yeah, yeah.
The bodies, but also in such a particular way, like the way that he frames like so many shots of this movie, the way that he edits feels like comic book panels, which
yes.
is the best.
Totally.
I love when movies do that. It makes me so happy because I think it's like it's further than being like, oh, we have like an epic shot that feels like what's it called, like a splash page or something like that. Like just like you said, the little pops of like him suiting up, that's a page. Like
yeah.
that's a page yeah. of comics. Yeah,
absolutely.
Yeah. No, absolutely. The what I was thinking like with the male form is like the one, the nipples and everything, but there's that shot and stuff that I was thinking about, like if you look throughout, like there's a ton of naked male statues throughout Gotham. There's the shot where the Riddler and Two-Face are smushed in between like two nude male statues, like so it's like four men crushed together on the screen, like forcing intimacy and like breaking like heteronormative like little children's minds. And it's just like there are just it's the movie's just so obsessed with like looking at the body. And I think that's so interesting because it obviously like plays into the horniness. Then when you have the dialogue where everyone is basically like throwing themselves at each other, it just all kind of feeds into this like hyper queer loop.
This is
you know?
An mm-hmm. excellent movie about obsession without really yes. like a gender attached to it, which yes. I love because like we should all be obsessed with each other. If everyone was running around dressed in these outfits, pulling off these crazy schemes, we would all be obsessed with each other.
We would all be Dr. Absolutely. Chase Meridian.
Dr. Chase Meridian.
One of the greatest names and characters of all time.
First of all, she sounds like an upscale hotel. Second of all, her
the Chase Meridian.
I'm checking into the Chase Meridian. I'm getting the penthouse suite. Come on. Second of all, her office has the same decor as a Cheesecake Factory, but with yes. like noir lighting.
Third, she works out there too.
Yes. Also, she's like,
she loves working.
Oh, also at one point he asked her to go rock climbing and she's like, you know, I do love rock climbing. And I really was like, you do?
She can do it all.
Yeah. But I went to a few years ago, this is pre-COVID, AFI Fest was doing a like Nicole Kidman thing. Mm. And I went to a screening of Destroyer, the Karin Kusama film.
Oh, good movie.
And they did a little thing beforehand, or they did a talk beforehand, which clearly was so that they both could leave and not have to stick through to the end of the movie and do the talk after. But before they got on stage, they were like, we are here in celebration of the amazing career of Nicole Kidman. And they start playing this reel, this like super teased trailer of all her movies and like interview, you know, it's just like, this is your life, Nicole Kidman. And I'm like, is she dying? But there was a moment, I was like, as the thing started to roll, I like sat back in my seat, arms folded across my chest, because I was like, there is no way they are putting Batman Forever in this thing. And reader, I will tell you, the one shot from Batman Forever that's in it is the, it's either the one, okay, I actually can't remember now because they're similar in like shot composition and like she's looking up, but it's either the one where he like leaves the roof and she's like looking up at him and the bat signals behind her. I don't think they use that because that would have been too obviously remember she was in Batman Forever.
Right.
So I think the one they used, which is like such an iconic moment, is when he visits her at night she's under the sheet and it's the moment where she sits up and like pulls the sheet back and she's like, what's going on?
Yes.
And like, you just hear a noise and like the fact that she heard a noise outside and just like pulled the sheet up and like was like ready for whatever was going to happen. Yes. Legend.
She's ready to like, fuck a drop of a hat.
Yes.
Like, oh my God.
I mean, she obviously, I love that she looks incredible in this movie.
My God.
They were correct.
Like, oh my God. Yeah.
To include it in the reel. But I love that you were like, they probably
I was
won't.
Like, I am going to know. I'm like, first of all,
but
if
you
they
knew.
Do it,
you knew.
I will be the only person in this audience that will clock it. And I was there with a friend. And that shot comes up with the sheet, and I nudged my friend, and I was like, "It's Batman Forever."
That's amazing.
She can't escape it.
It's Dr. Chase Meridian right there.
It's Dr. Chase Meridian, and my what a pursuit you must be, God.
This
dialogue,
it's so excellent.
So good. She like unlocked. Well, like I feel like I love her in this because like there's so many like layers. We can dig into like the queerness of it for like what she unlocks.
It.
But it's like on one hand, like her being a psychologist, like she obviously like. Is there so Bruce can like reflect upon like his inner trauma, and you have like the amazing sequence with like the man-sized bat or whatever, and like so much of it is
which was
cut.
There's a deleted
yes,
scene.
The Schumacher cut.
The Schumacher. Oh, we'll get to that later, of course.
Yes.
But like, you see a glimpse of it when Edward shows, like when Edward when
goes
Edward,
into
when
his
the Riddler
brain.
Edward, like he's my friend. When the Riddler
we're
shows,
on a first
like
name basis.
The guy with the bats on his brain, and like it's that shot
huge
of the giant
bat.
Man
yeah.
bat, which is totally from this deleted
yes.
scene, which is absolutely insane. Where he like flaps his arms in front of the man bat, and they almost kiss. Like their faces are so close together.
Yes,
I love Joel Schumacher.
We love that.
It's so good.
It's insane.
Yes,
but no, it's like so. It's like you could read that side of it, but then it's also like an attraction thing where like obviously he has an attraction to her, but then he also has, because they age Robin up, he has the attraction somewhat to Robin, if you want to read into that,
which I think we
absolutely
I think
will
we
because
will
Chris
be.
O'Donnell is like
do.
28 or 30 whatever, like however old he is during this,
and he's playing a college student.
Yes.
And let's just say it, they could not introduce him in a twinkier fashion for lack of a
yes.
better word. Like I'm gonna
do it.
Expose myself a little bit. I had never seen this movie until this recording. I know, don't hate me.
It's fair. I get it.
It's
I get it, because if you had ever heard about this movie, you would have been like, why on earth would I watch this? I get it.
It's not that I was anti this movie. As Jordan can attest, I just didn't have a Batman childhood. And as a result, I'm catching up as needed. And I'm totally watching things out of order. But I have seen Batman and Batman Returns, which are good. I am bracing myself for Batman and Robin. I do want to watch it. But
oh my
anyway.
God. You You honestly don't know what you're in for. It's true. Like this is crazy. This movie is nuts. And like that one is like crazier. It's somehow.
Yeah.
Uma Thurman and Arnold are giving it their all.
Mm-hmm. And Alicia Silverstone is
back. Like, right. What is going on?
Yeah. There's like
Uma Thurman though as Poison Ivy is so
incredible
amazing.
Casting. Inspired, incredible. Honestly.
I am excited.
I think all this is casting is like pretty relatively inspired. I think if anything, yeah. like Tommy Lee could be replaced because he was supposed to be Billy Dee Williams.
It was supposed to be Billy Dee.
Which would have been
that would have been so
better,
good.
I think. But
well, I think maybe he wouldn't have hated working alongside Jim Carrey the way that
yes.
Tommy Lee did.
Yeah.
Oh man.
Just Tommy Lee Jones.
I will tell anybody the stories
like,
of them yeah. hating each other.
Yeah.
I that Hollywood Reporter piece where they have that quote where like the buffoonery and like he like tries to talk to him at a restaurant like while they're in the middle of filming the movie and he won't talk
and
to
he's like,
him.
I
he's
hate
like, I don't
you.
Like
yeah.
you.
So cool.
That is unreal.
That's the Hollywood gossip we need.
Yeah.
That is all I care about. Like when I first read that a few years ago, I just wouldn't stop talking about it for like a week.
Yeah. It's I feel like part of what makes it so fascinating is that it was allegedly because like Tommy Lee Jones was much more quote unquote serious, was trying to mm-hmm. like play this in a prestige way. And I just want to know, what about Joel Schumacher, Batman, Two-Face, the costume fittings, the production design? Any of it implies that you should play this like you're part of the Royal Shakespeare Company. Like, yeah. I don't
also,
know.
Also, the craziest part of it is that he plays Two-Face so over the
yes.
top and like maniacal. Like, he's trying to like match Riddler's energy
yes.
almost. And like, that has never been who Two-Face is
no.
as a character ever. So the fact that he chose to do that is super interesting. If he wanted to be more, you know, like he could have been the straight man,
right? Like Two-Face is tormented, like he is like one of the more tormented
yeah.
Batman villains because his brain is so split and because he was like such a good guy turned bad, you know, like
right.
there's a lot, like obviously like the Dark Knight minds it, but like Batman the animated series mm-hmm. does it really well, the comics, etc. Like he could
yeah.
play a tormented character, but he's like no, I'll go big.
And it does feel like he's like, well, I kind of have to out act Jim Carrey, which is obviously
a bad
impossible
idea. Yes,
you could never do it. I would have really loved to see Billy Dee Williams give it
too.
A shot because he's so good. Although allegedly, like, it's so crazy because like his contract on Batman like stated that he was going to play like Harvey Dent as Two-Face. Like the studio
mm-hmm.
clearly had a plan. I don't know if they were like freaked out by
racism.
Burton. Well, yeah, that's what it was. Yeah. Is that they were like, we actually don't want a black
yeah.
man to do this anymore. But
which
like,
they also did
you'd...
with Robin
because
yeah. of in Batman Returns, it was supposed to be Marlon Wayans.
Right.
And like you can find the toys.
That's right.
They have like the toys
oh
and stuff that were like formed for Marlon Wayans. And you look at it and it just has like his features, but like a white guy's skin over it. So you're like, that
absolutely
that doesn't
bullshit.
Look good.
Yeah. It's like
sounds like racism.
Just a bit.
Just zero for two. I guess I understand like in a horrible like studio twisted way, but it's like you already hired Billy Dee Williams. You put it in his contract. Like
yeah.
what
he was already the character
yeah.
in a previous spell.
And they had to pay all this money to buy him out of the contract only to get Tommy Lee Jones, who's not bad in this movie, you know, I wouldn't say he gives the performance of the century. It's very frustrating.
No, you could argue it's maybe the worst performance of his career, given, you know, the caliber and types
right.
of roles he takes. It's just so out of left field. Jim Carrey, on the other hand, could not be better.
Where is the Oscar?
It's so good.
Truly,
I just want to know.
Spank me.
It's
crazy.
Amazing.
Well, yeah, what was your experience? So this was your first time.
This is my first time.
How are you digesting? Because
right.
you've seen the Lego Batman movie, so you've had sort of the camp energy there. But like, what was...
Oh, Lego Batman's good.
It's
so
good.
Good.
Lego Batman, it's so good. So gay,
good
also.
Movie.
Absolutely also. Loved that movie. And I feel like with between Birds of Prey and Harley Quinn, I was like, this is my favorite iteration of like what DC is. Because I'm not really... I don't have like, I would say, much of an emotional attachment in a nostalgic way to superhero movies. So when things are dark and gritty, I'm not like, oh yes, finally a movie for the adults. I just, it's a movie. If I like it, I like it.
Yeah.
When it comes to the superhero
yeah.
genre. But I know I mentioned this before, my boyfriend, he like grew up on Batman. So he sort of like holds my hand while whenever we watch a new one, and I'll be like, okay, tell me about when you watched this, tell me about like your memory, what you liked about it. So it's cool. I feel like I have like a little encyclopedia sitting next to me when I watch a new Batman movie. I fucking loved this movie. I thought it was so good. I was delighted the whole time.
Can you say your review on Letterboxd? Because it's my favorite thing you've ever reviewed.
My Letterboxd review for this film was not a single straight person in Gotham, because no straight people in Gotham. I couldn't
not a one.
Believe how committed, in particular, Jim Carrey was to like playing the character this way. I could not believe how they portrayed Robin in the best way, where like even his compulsory heterosexuality, gotta go rescue a girl and then kiss her, feels like the most ridiculous thing in the world.
Yes.
I couldn't believe all, like, even how Val Kilmer is like playing it.
I feel like obsessed. Val gets so knocked for this movie,
which
but
is
like
rude in
I
my
think
opinion.
He's a pretty solid on the scale Batman. Like, I don't think he's the
I
best,
agree.
But like, I think he does a pretty good job with what the movie's asking of him. You
yeah.
know,
you said it earlier, Carly. The villains are really what you're there for. Like yeah. Batman, I think like it is sort of that like emo straight leading man where like if he can hold the movie, then like that's what right. you need him to do. Yeah.
Yeah. At like at his worst, a portrayal of Batman is like a billionaire cop, and at best he's kind of like an emo guy who is a shut-in.
Yeah. yeah.
And you know, that's kind of the gamut that he runs. And that's cool. But like I liked Val Kilmer as Batman.
Yeah.
I liked his voice. I feel like Batman voices have become such a thing. And like the Christian Bale voice, particularly like
what do you mean, like, voice?
And like I don't know, just like rewatching the movie
Rachel!
Today, and just
sorry,
just like rewatching Batman Forever earlier today, and just like being like lulled and yeah. like you know swaddled almost by the dulcet tones of Val Kilmer's beautiful voice.
Yes,
I enjoyed that.
I love it. I love Val Kilmer.
Me too.
Have a little bit of a thing for him for sure.
He fits your type.
And what can I say? I just like men who look like they could chop lumber. I don't mean to drive home potentially negative body stereotypes.
No.
I like a man who can chop some wood. I don't
yeah.
know what to
I
say.
Just look at him and I'm like, he has really like nice skin and pretty lips.
Yeah.
I feel like I get the complete opposite vibe from him. But I get
he's
it.
Like,
I do get
he's
it.
He's got the bulk.
The Iceman.
Yeah.
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 yeah, yeah, yeah.
Totally. I mean, I really like I think probably the most formative Val Kilmer performance for me, which is hilarious because it's like one of his last ones, is Kiss Kiss Bang Bang.
Oh, it's transcendent.
I'm obsessed with that movie.
Yeah.
I got really into The Saint for a while when that movie came
yeah.
out. Like, what a random thing for a person to be into.
He's
Doc.
Obviously really stunning. What?
Yeah, I was going to say, have either of you seen that, the Val Doc?
Oh, yeah.
No, I haven't seen it yet.
It's so good.
Yeah.
It made me sob, but like...
It's a lot.
Yeah.
yeah. Yeah.
But it like yeah. really like gives... It gave me so much appreciation sort of for him. And like, obviously he was kind of a piece of shit on set and like was known for kind of being a pain in the ass. But like... You kind of got to love it because that's also kind of Bruce Wayne. So, like, it kind of fuels the
yeah.
character, you know?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. A lot of actors are pain in the ass.
That's
as
true.
Said.
That's true.
So, you know, I think yeah. it all depends what you're delivering,
yeah.
how it's going. I'm reading the Mad Max, like, book that just came out, Blood, Sweat, and Chrome.
Oh, yeah.
Thank you, Kyle Buchanan. And, like, so much of that book talks about how Tom Hardy was, like, basically a dick on set. Speaking of Batman villains, and it's like, yeah,
oh,
but
no.
it works for the movie,
yeah.
blah, blah, blah. Everything worked out okay in the end. So I feel like there's a fine line between, like, someone who's a dick on set and someone who is fucking terrible.
Right, like sending rats or whatever.
Yeah, sending, oh, yeah, mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
But I will say, just because we're covering sort of like the actors, it's always so fascinating sort of seeing how the movies sort of treat Robin. And I guess in general, like all content, like I feel like just as a Robin stan, he's such an interesting character. And there's obviously like, I obviously love him for a lot of reasons. One, there's like so obviously so much queer undertones to him. Two, he has a lot of daddy issues. But
my God,
on this movie, it's so frustrating. I'm not like, I don't dislike O'Donnell's performance. But it's like, it's sort of in that weird in between where he's older. So like, he kind of like would be in like, this is really nerdy, but he would be like in Nightwing territory. And he's also like, by him being so much older, his like torment of his parents' death and like going to live with Bruce feels a little like,
overgrown.
Like a little, yeah, like he's a little too old to be doing it. If he was younger, it would sort of make more sense. So it like sort of has this weird kind of in between. But then I like do like elements to it. Like I really love when he gets the costume and he like actually gets committed to it. Like there is like good stuff there. But I don't know how you guys felt, but I feel like the age thing is sort of a little murky for me.
This is not relevant, so I'll just say it so we can move say on it. To relevant topics. We were watching the circus scene and like Two-Face appeared and completely jokingly I was like, oh haha, does this family die in a freak circus accident? And Evan, my boyfriend, was like, wait, do you
tragic
not
backstory.
Know how Robin's family dies? And I was like, no, are you serious?
That's so funny.
Is not knowing how Robin's family dies the new not knowing how Batman's family died?
Right. They have to show them falling to their death in every movie.
We must show it. The pearls hitting the ground in slow motion.
Odds that the Batman has pearls.
I actually know that it doesn't.
It doesn't?
I read a review that was like, no pearls.
Thank God. Well, I don't need, I never need to see it.
Yeah.
I never need to see it again.
It's a meme at this point. Yes, like, I feel like Matt Reeves was like, I can't do it. You can't do it unless you're
like, it's too silly. Yeah. Yes. It's just gotten silly. Yeah.
Yes.
But we can watch Robin's parents falling off a trap
every day,
all the time, because we've only seen it
once. Yeah.
So good.
But
anyway,
on O'Donnell, how do you feel?
I
Mr.
Like
NCIS LA himself.
I feel like he's giving a very like teeny bopper network television performance, which can work in certain areas, but not particularly here. I just think I agree with you in that I feel like he's trying to do like more of a teen performance because he's a little too old for it. And because like, I think because of the potential queerness, they really want the Batman-Robin relationship to feel more like mentor-mentee, parent-child, potentially. I would say that it's not successful. He's just too old.
Yeah.
But it could be worse. I don't know. It's just, it kind of sucks because so many people are making really, like, interesting, insane
Big,
choices.
Good choices, yeah. And like, Jim Carrey's, like, delivering the goods. Kind of
there.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
How do you feel?
Yeah, I feel like, Chris O'Donnell was, like, miscast, which is a bummer because when he shows up, he is that like fresh faced twink that you are like hoping for.
The single and earring, then, the
yes,
oh my god,
the
yes.
circus outfit,
the little bangs,
yeah, yep.
Oh god, when he does the laundry and Alfred's like, whoa, master Dick, what are you doing with the mop? And then I just made Alfred sound like gay Bane.
Oh no,
I'm this credit card's reckoning. I just say that all the time. I don't leave my
Yes, I will be this chair's reckoning.
Yes.
It's the best. Yeah.
Chair gag is one of the best running gags.
If
it's
you
so
haven't watched
good.
Animated series Harley Quinn, stop listening
when
to this episode.
He's a magician? Like, come on.
It's so good.
It's so good. That show is so good. I want to like go just start watching it again.
Yeah.
Is your card the Three of Hearts?
No.
Fuck.
Yeah, it feels like he's miscast. It feels like they didn't really know what they were like, we really want to introduce Robin in this movie. And then they were like, not really sure.
Yeah.
How? Because they combined so many different Robins into one story.
Exactly.
So it's like, he's not a kid. He's college age. But his parents die on the trapeze. And he's going to go live with Batman, even though he's fully an adult. And yeah, like everything you guys are saying, like, I totally agree. It's like, I like Chris O'Donnell. He's like perfectly suit like fine. He's fine.
Yeah,
he's
just, that's
like, I think
they
the
didn't
best
really,
way
like,
to describe him is like
yeah.
he's
like,
perfectly
he's fine.
Fine, you know. He's just like, sure.
It's that, it's so funny because it's like in this movie, even though Val Kilmer is like a new Batman, it's essentially like Robin is like the new fresh faced pretty boy
right,
that they're bringing in,
yeah.
Which it happens so often, and they just pick like someone relatively boring.
And then it's wild in the next movie that he's what stays,
yeah,
because then it goes to Clooney,
yeah.
But Alfred's the only one that remains.
Alfred.
Wild.
Alfred's the constant always.
Yeah.
But it's a great Alfred performance. Like, he is so good.
It's the best. I feel like it was like a J.K. Simmons, J. Jonah Jameson situation. Mm. They're like, no one can do this better. You own this role. He's so good. Every time he said Master Dick, I burst out laughing.
It's funny.
And I already had, like, sat through it. A Batman movie, because they say that so often. But I was still unprepared. It's amazing. I love it. I'm glad that it's the Dick Grayson version of Robin, though, because I know there are a bunch of versions, and I know that Dick
Jason
Grayson slash Nightwing is your favorite.
Yes, he is.
So, if people don't know, canonically bi in the comics and currently dating a guy in the comics, except I don't remember who the guy is. He might just be a nice civilian boy.
We love to see it, though.
I don't remember. But yeah.
We do love to see
you
it.
You remember. It was like a couple months ago, that like cover.
Mm-hmm.
It's beautiful. I love it.
Batman's always been gay.
Always. Yeah. It's always been. Like some of these villains, like there's no, like.
Yeah.
There's no way.
That's why
straight people were involved.
It's so true. I think like that's why Jim, one of the many reasons why Jim Carrey
that's
is so good in this
go into, yeah.
is because like even before he goes full Riddler, another exposing myself moment. I totally did not know that the Riddler's name was Edward Nygma, aka Enigma. We were like 5 minutes in and I was like, that's his name? Like seriously? But I, listen.
Mr. Freeze's name is Victor, like German, like Freeze, you know, like F-R-I-E-S. Like it's there's zero subtlety.
Look, there's very little subtlety in Gotham. It's just not the way it was made. My fun fact about myself is that when Chromatica came out and I was like obsessed.
Yes.
The song Enigma was like one of my favorite songs. And I kept hearing I'll be your Enigma. Like that's how I hear the song. Because my brain is fully broken.
That's amazing.
So fucking funny.
So when like, is the Jim Carrey fan cam dropping? We need it.
I don't know. But we need it. We need like the Riddler meets Chromatic. Like we need that. We need
You know
it.
How it's like the cover, like her body, whatever spread out, like him mm-hmm. in the silver like outfit with
yes,
the cane,
with the pink hair?
Like, yeah.
It fits.
It
it's
works.
The same color
it's so
scheme.
Major. Yes. It's like weirdly on the right color palette.
Yes.
It's perfect.
Yeah. All right. Yeah. I will be doing some Photoshop after this.
Love that.
Great. I really need that to happen because it's just how my brain has like that's how the song exists for me.
That's incredible.
Enigma.
Enigma.
That's so good.
Oh, Jesus.
I feel like if we're just looking at him in general, like we should definitely dive into the story, but like so much of his
it's Batman, yeah. you know?
But like so much of his plot line is basically like being like a jilted and like heartbroken lover of Bruce Wayne. Like it's sort of like the do I want to be you or do I want to like be with you or become you sort of a thing. Mm-hmm. But it's like
relatable.
Of course.
The queer
experience. The beginning, it's like he is so obsessed with Bruce that then ties into like his obsession with Batman. And there is just so much like yearning and desire there. And then if you just look as like obviously like all of his outfits and every like thing that he says, it's just so much queer coding thrown onto one character. And like obviously some part of it is like Carrey's performance, but like also it is like, as we were saying, the production design, the dialogue, like everything there is like guiding you to be like, the Riddler's gay.
Yes.
Know?
I mean, that is why it's so good, because even before he becomes the Riddler proper, like his obsession with Bruce Wayne and like his need to be respected by him, like not even to supplant him, which I feel like is a lot of like what these Batman villains want to do. Like,
yeah, he wants to impress Bruce.
Yes. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. He's
like, look what
crush.
I made.
Right.
Look, I made this cool thing out of a blender or whatever. And it's fine.
It's really
it's
just
no,
a blender. Ever,
it's going to be fine. It's don't worry about it. Ed Begley Jr. did run out of a window, but it's fine. Don't worry
about
it. And he didn't run. I pushed him. But again, don't worry about it.
All that stuff in the beginning is so good.
Yeah.
He's just like, his eyes are so wide. He is just, it's like he's like Eternal Sunshine, like after he had been Eternal Sunshine. And like, but the machine like short-circuited his brain.
Yeah, totally. Do you think, though, that the Riddler invented the metaverse in this movie?
Damn.
Oh no!
You ain't wrong.
No.
Like I'm worried that somehow like NFTs
came from
we
this?
Have him to blame.
I maybe. Will track with that. I agree.
He
I mean,
is
like
a scoundrel.
Gotham was fucked after that whole brainwave went out. So you know, who knows?
Yeah, that's some crazy internet business. I love how they're like, oh, remember when television was invented and how much we hated that? Introducing Riddler Vision or whatever it is. It's so good, and I think that like. It's really exciting to see once he gets all of his power and he's like doing his little Bruce Wayne core outfit at the gala. Like, it's still this need for mutual respect and admiration. Like, I'm obsessed with that entire scene. Now he'll like steal Dr. Jason Meridian and be like, is Bruce watching this?
Oh my God.
Is
he has the mole.
Yeah, it's excellent. Also, this is like peak Jim Carrey hot. Like,
ooh, okay.
Yeah, he looks great in that.
So
he
good.
Tuxedo and his hair's all like coiffed.
Yeah,
he
looks
he does.
Amazing.
He looks insane at the beginning and at.
Oh, he looks absolutely nuts.
and then in Riddler mode.
Just, yeah.
But
I feel like the whole idea of like this movie takes the idea of like love geometry and like blows it up. Cause it's like you have Bruce and Batman and Chase. Meridian. I have to say her
Dr. Chase Meridian. Yeah, Dr. Chase Dr. Meridian. Chase Meridian. It's not Chase. It's not Dr. Meridian. It's Dr. Chase Meridian.
And then you have the Riddler and Edward Enigma.
Yes.
Like,
yes.
They're all like mixing up together. And then you have a man whose name is literally Two-Face. Like, right. He's not really involved on the same level with like the attraction and the desire the way and the obsession the way the rest of them are. But he is literally a fractured person. Like,
yeah.
The idea of like duality is there and like these like people having like different sides to them, like, but also the idea of like, is this like a five-way like love polyhedron happening here where like, and it
Batman
feels like,
and
yes.
Dr. Chase Meridian and Riddler and Two-Face and
Bruce Wayne,
Bruce Wayne and, like, and Robin. Yes.
Yeah.
Well, it's so all true because it's like, even though Two-Face is like ostensibly the least involved, like he and Riddler have so much screen time together and have to be so close and like
physically
so
close,
intense
yeah.
with each other for so much of, and even like I feel like the Riddler's ultimate puzzle for Batman, which is all about duality, this whole movie is about choosing between Bruce Wayne and Batman, choosing between which face you are. Yes, exactly.
This is maybe the most bisexual movie ever made.
Yes. Yes.
Duality. Can we,
is it safe to say that?
I think so.
I feel like it is.
I think so.
Yes. Duality
yeah, it's
equals
about,
bisexuality. Always.
It's about like the choice, because he keeps being like, I'm not going to be Batman anymore. I'm just going to like hang up the towel. And then it's like, no, you're not. The bat is tormenting you, whatever the fuck. But it's like, yeah, it's like the choice between like light and dark, and the choice between good and evil, and the choice between like a complicated vengeance life living in the shadows and like settling down with this nice blonde lady with a great blowout and like going rock climbing.
Yeah, he manages to have it all, embrace
the
bisexuality
all about
of
that.
It.
Yeah.
He was Carrie Bradshaw before there was a Carrie Bradshaw. You can have
you
it all.
Women can have it all. And women includes Batman.
He girl bossed
in this
that
case.
Fucking Riddler.
And I think it's hilarious that Dr. Chase Meridian is all about, oh, we need to unpack the man behind Batman. We need to figure out who he is. And then gets in too deep and is like, do I want Batman or do I want Bruce Wayne or do I want some mysterious combination of them that doesn't exist?
Uh-huh.
I have no idea how she doesn't figure it out. Because she
does in the end, yeah. Because she tells him.
She does.
Yeah.
All of them figure it out in this movie, but also there are so many moments in the first like third or half of the movie where like everyone is like clearly putting it together but not actually drawing the right conclusions yet.
Yes.
Like Riddler, Two-Face, and Dr. Chase Meridian are all like, interesting that this man is both this and that, and like no one is putting it together in a like completely amazing way where you're just like, guys, just like do like go one step
extrapolate
further,
you can do it.
They get there eventually, but it takes like a lot of drama for it to happen and for some of it to just be like, I'm Batman.
Yes. I mean,
you're like, oh,
literally in act one you have Bruce Wayne beating people up at a circus. I just, in a time when Batman mysteriously doesn't appear, oh goodness, how could this have ever happened? But it's like, I think that the best Batman movies have to have all the characters suspend their disbelief in that way.
Yes.
Let alone that a grown man in a bat costume is the savior of their city. But it's like that, that's what you need. Like, I think that the more you try to strip that away and be like, everyone is cool with this, everyone accepts that this is a normal reality, it doesn't work. And I think that, again, we were talking about how like immersive and designed this movie is, everything from the sets to the costumes to the tone to the cinematography. Like, it has to build a Gotham that is not part of modern America in the best way. Yeah. I love it.
Na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na- It's strike that bat signal, baby.
Because we got some fits for you.
Oh.
Say goodbye to the bat suit because you're going to want to put on head to toe super yaki suit.
That cowl gone.
The More ears like, can oof. Stay. Cowl can stay. Everything else. Head to toe super yaki.
I love it.
Listen, whether you want to wear actual super yaki branded merch, which they have, or just choose from an incredible selection of their love letters to filmmakers and movies that we love.
Absolutely.
Including some really wonderful campy offerings that if you like Batman Forever, you're gonna like. I gotta tell you, you should check them out. They're seriously
the best.
Take to
the sky.
Absolutely. And by the way, right now we are in the final stretch of March Madness over on their Instagram where you, the listeners, can vote on a Mads Mikkelsen style merch line, which is basically my dream come true.
Get Mads, baby.
By the fans, for the fans. Just like Schumacher's Batman, by the fans, for the fans.
I would say that Mads Mikkelsen would fit in within this movie and universe.
Kill to see Mads Mikkelsen play a campy.
Who do you have him as? Any villain?
I want to see him as Two-Face.
Ooh, actually. Yes. That's good, because Hannibal's kind of Two-Facey.
Yeah, and Mads has, like, the elegant business. He can play the comedy,
but he can get a little cranky.
Yeah, ooh, so good. Rawr. I love it. Anyway, I will be petitioning WB to make that happen. Mm. But in the meantime, if you want to fulfill all your merch needs, talk about a movie that knows some merch. Great tie-ins here.
Everyone's fitted in this, and you can be fitted as a listener.
Absolutely, you can. And guess what? As a listener, we have a little something extra for you.
Oh, my God. What do we have? Did we take out the Bat card?
We're taking out the Bat credit card? The Bat card.
Yeah,
the Bat friend discount? Ooh. I don't know. You can use code SUPERQQ at checkout for 10% off your Super Yaki order. That's code SUPERQQ, all caps, no spaces.
Get that drive-thru.
So listen, if you need to get some drive-through, if the spirit moves you, if the bat signal is calling to you,
it's guiding you,
you can find the best merch on the internet at superyaki.com. That's SUPERYAKI.com. Check them out. And hey, Jordan.
Hey, Brooke.
Let's watch more Batman movies.
Superyaki.
I love that Gotham. The Schumacher Gotham feels like it is absolutely its own place. Yes. And is like kind of like not of our world.
It's stunning. Like the like the establishing shots that they'll have, where it's just like this beautiful like matte painting or like these statues and everything. Like when you're going through the city, it's like it's such a lived in world that like feels so nice to visit versus like, oh, look, I love the Nolan Batman movies, but it's like that's Chicago. You know what I mean?
Yeah. I've heard that the Batman 2021, it sort of has that same Nolan-y aesthetic where it's like combos of like Chicago and New York and LA and like a very like David Fincher style
metropolitan city with tall buildings and everything's gray.
Which is it is a style in and of its own. Yeah. But this is so good. It's so colorful. I love the sort of like rave day glow blacklight chase sequence is
unbelievable.
Amazing.
Oh yeah, when Chris O'Donnell steals the Batmobile and like goes to like fight all the toughs in the alley and they're all covered in neon paint and you're just like, okay, yeah, definitely, this is normal.
Yeah.
Incredible.
It's great. I would love to join. Yeah, their outfits, oh my god. Black light paint.
Oh my god, those outfits are so good. I once went through like frame by frame to see some of those kooky characters in the alleyway and that does not disappoint. It looks like the actual Gem and the Holograms are like out there fighting him. Like Barbie and the Rockers showed up to fight.
It's wild. It's also so gay too. It's like Schumacher just shoving all this gay stuff at like a heterosexual mainstream audience.
Oh my god. All of Two-Face's henchmen, and you mentioned gimp suits, but like we should say, I want to just talk about real quick, all of Two-Face's henchmen are like leather daddies.
Yes
they are.
It's great.
Yes.
It's incredible.
That's what he's choosing between. You know, he has Drew Barrymore on one side and those people on the other, whatever.
That was like one of the first things that I wrote down was like, oh my God, the Two-Face henchmen. Like they're in.
Mm-hmm. Well, it's so early in the movie too.
He's like, yeah, the whole movie. Yeah.
Silver. Yes. Like they're basically wearing collars.
And speaking of, they fully are wearing collars. Yeah. And speaking of like obsessions, like we were talking about too, it's like, you see, like Two-Face essentially opens the movie with the heist and like trying to get Batman to, you know, come out and play or whatever.
You have the greatest line deliver of all time. Oh no, it's boiling acid. I'm sorry, but like,
oh, that poor guard. Yeah,
that line delivery
guard.
Like lives in my head. We're just like, oh no, boiling acid. Sorry.
Also, like, where does all the Batman villains just have boiling acid all the time? That doesn't pop up anywhere else.
Very common export of Gotham. Mm.
Yeah, I guess
it's
they just have
trauma
all
and
over.
Acid.
I mean, we know that they do, but yeah, that's
their export.
Gotham's biggest exports are weird villains, acid,
horny doctors,
just horny psychotherapists. Yeah.
Sorry, you were saying the opening.
The opening. Oh yeah, so like, Riddler's on his own journey, but he doesn't even know about Two-Face, like, because he's doing his own thing, and he's like, I invented this thing, and he's obsessed with Bruce, but then he watches the circus thing happen on TV, and becomes like, he's like, delighted. Then he becomes obsessed with Two-Face, and he hunts him down, and like, is like, I'm your new partner. Like, that's super...
Yeah.
Like that, what a gay ass character. Come on. Mm-hmm.
And like, he's twirling a cane while doing it.
I mean, the absolute like audacity and flamboyance of Jim Carrey in this. I think it's very, there are very few actors that could make this work in like that high camp of a performance. But like,
I don't think I can think of anyone else that could have played this Riddler.
Absolutely.
Honestly.
Robin Williams was, I mean, like in discussion. Like, and like, there's a Robin Williams take for sure, but it's not this. Yes. It's just like, hey, how you doing? I'm the Riddler. You're gonna solve this riddle. Hey, but da da da. You know, like Jim Carrey's that just loud. It's two very different performances.
Yeah,
absolutely. Yeah, yeah. A Robin Williams Riddler would be super interesting too. I mean, would have been.
Yeah.
Tragically, but yeah, and it's like obviously Jim Carrey like did his Jim Carrey shtick like that. That's probably not on the page. It's like. It's just like him bringing his whole thing to it, and like no one else can do that. But even still, like the Riddler, the way it's written, the dialogue and the outfits and the like the storyline, like I have a hard time thinking of anybody else, especially in 1995, that could have
I don't think there is.
And like to be able to cast such a superstar in that role and
then give him
the screen time that you want. And I think like it really is this full-bodied character where of course it's like you have everything that Jim Carrey is going to bring to a role like this, but I think like the outfits alone, the green bodysuit, the sparkly dollar jacket,
so good.
The pink hair, the throne. It's all like in service.
Oh, that shot of him in his lair at the end when he has and he's like sitting up in the chair above on the throne. That is such an exquisite shot.
Yes.
There's actually a lot of really wonderful shots in this. There's a lot of like complete nonsense in this too. Like just like an excessive amount of Dutch angles and like weird shit.
What,
but also
what you,
like some
what
really
do you mean?
Beautiful there's some beautiful cinematography in this.
This actually did pretty. This was maybe like the only positive accolades that this film received was for the Craft Awards. Like it was nominated for Best Cinematography at the literal Oscars, as well as Best Sound and Sound Effects Editing.
But it all is good. Like as we're saying, like it all is so stunning. And like what they're doing, even like when the car goes up the wall, like that looks
I love it.
So cool. Like you know how
I think that was in the trailer. I feel like that was in the trailer because I remember that. That was like etched in my mind, that shot.
It's a great awesome.
Moment. Yeah. It fits this Batmobile really really well, too. I love this version of the Batmobile where it's like it's a shark. It's like a sea creature almost. I love the fin that's on top. Mm-hmm. It's like this little,
it's awesome.
This little creature that is like independent of Batman in a way. And you're like, well, of course it can go up the wall. It looks like that.
Yeah, of course. It's probably alive.
That's like a formative memory for me was when I came out to visit LA for the first time. When I was like touring and whatever, I'm like, am I going to live in LA or what am I going to do in college? Was we went and did like the WB tour and they have all the Batmobiles and being able to like find, like see in person all the stuff you see on screen for so long was like so exciting and beautiful. And this Batmobile is like one of the cooler ones because it does feel like a comic book or a cartoon. You're like, this is like the stuff I grew up on.
It
you
has
know?
A fin on top.
Right.
I can't.
Yeah, and it has the like... It almost has like an exoskeleton and then there's like neon lights coming through. Like it's so, I mean, it's so of this world. Like it makes so much sense. I was just like, remember, I took some notes when I was thinking about this movie earlier. And one of the things that I think would be really interesting to point out, because you were just mentioning like you had like Jim Carrey was a superstar when this movie came out. I feel like people that were not, like if you didn't live through it, it's like hard to really imagine.
Right.
But like Jim Carrey was like a global sensation when this came out. This was the top domestic grossing film of the year.
Yeah.
So like everyone saw this film. It made a ridiculous amount of money and led to Schumacher getting to do whatever the fuck he wanted again.
Yes.
With Batman and Robin. So like for all the like, I don't know. I mean, I think we've all made quite a case here for the fact that it is an underappreciated masterpiece. It always has struck me as very funny when people are like, when people talk shit about this movie and like say that like no one's seen it or like, you know, but like it was
Wicked
the
popular.
Top grossing film of the
year.
Yes. Like
yeah.
Literally everyone alive in the year 1995 and like of age to go to a movie
saw this.
Went to see this
Absolutely.
Movie.
Absolutely. Like, and even like, even if you didn't see it, like you knew about it. Like as we were talking about like the marketing and everything, like it was, it's like
oh
a part of like the global marketing machine that we have like now had with superhero films. But like, I feel like, nowadays it's so baked sort of into the cultural consciousness that like a Marvel movie doesn't need to have like this huge McDonald's run or all these TV spots. But like that 90s through early 2000s period of like the tie-ins and the marketing and everything being like, you're going to have a toy and you're going to have a cup and you're going to have this and we're going to like work with here and there. And you're like, that was like, it was a machine for like to promote these movies. And like this movie, as we were saying, is like such a byproduct of that.
Yeah.
I was gonna say another like huge component of that equation is the soundtrack. We would be remiss
to
not speak about this.
You have to.
This, I have long stated that this is the greatest film soundtrack of all time.
It's good.
I feel so like good. People like to say it's Romeo and Juliet, and that one's really good.
Baz Luhrmann's furious right now.
He's so mad. It's just Baz Luhrmann that disagrees with me. But it's like, you know, like the 90s were like an era of movie soundtracks. Like we don't get that anymore. Totally. We haven't had that since. Where like a movie soundtracks were an event. Music videos were made either with clips from the film in the music video, so they were essentially a commercial for a film, or they were like a special music video that was made with the cast and the artist together. Like you think about like Space Jam with like Michael Jordan and Michael Jackson like in the video together, like dancing and playing basketball. You're just like, that's not a thing that anyone's doing anymore.
They're not pumping up the jam anymore.
No one's pumping up the gym anymore.
Hiss.
But no, I completely agree. Like you were saying the music video thing, and my head went to the Suicide Squad 1 where they had that like Jared Leto, Rick Ross music video, and it was just like such a disaster. And like you really don't have these like fun like musical tie-ins
I
and everything anymore.
Have one good counterpoint.
Yes.
And it's Birds of Prey.
Oh, true.
Okay, that is such a good soundtrack. And I guess they did do a music music video.
Yeah, there's the Normani, Megan Thee Stallion,
right.
Diamonds Are a Girl's Best Friend music
that
video.
That is a great soundtrack. Yeah. Actually, I would also, I mean, if we want to get into modern soundtracks that are amazing, Spider-Verse was, I'm like, what are movie soundtracks I've like listened to in their entirety at like the gym?
Yeah.
And it would be Birds of Prey and Spider-Verse.
Yeah. And it's good, but I think like it has to, because I feel like, again, we're looking at Marvel, MCU Marvel versus DC. And it's like the MCU is very much like, well, let's take like popular songs that everybody knows, like we're not necessarily building something around, and they'll like do cool things like, oh, we got Led Zeppelin to license their music when they never do, or we got some weird slowed down cover of Smells Like Teen Spirit for a still undetermined reason.
It smelled like Team Spirit.
I don't know. But like they don't need that extra push that comes from like a marketing soundtrack.
Yeah.
But yeah, I mean, I'm.
But even like,
Birds of Prey and Spider-Verse are two like totally like iconic cultural reset soundtracks. But like the fact that Kiss from a Rose is like from this soundtrack is crazy. Crazy.
It's crazy. That is like such a phenomenon of a song.
Yes.
And the fact that it came from a movie sound. Well, that's the thing. Like movie soundtrack hits used to be like the top of the charts.
Mm-hmm. Prince like, and Batman, you know?
Yeah.
Yeah. And there's so many, I think there are like, you know, a pretty decent number of songs that we're like, oh, I didn't know that was created for X movie.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
When I don't know if you guys watched Yellow Jackets, but
yes.
I mean, the music on that show is phenomenal, but
including
there are two
Kiss from a Rose drops
moments.
Yes.
And like, I lost my mind. I was just like, because I feel like I'm from the county in New Jersey where the fictional town of Yellow Jackets takes place.
I love
like
that.
The B-roll of New Jersey in the pilot. I know those like I've been to those places. It's so weird. So I feel like on every level, somehow Yellow Jackets was created in a lab just for me. So them dropping Seal like Kiss from a Rose twice.
You're like, whoa.
It was actually
I was like,
created in a lab for two people. The other one is myself. That show is
oh my god.
Insanely good. It's actually ridiculous how good it is. Have you burned through it
yet?
You got it.
I'm on two separate group chats that were created solely to for people friends to talk about.
That's amazing.
Yellow Jacket. They've gotten quiet since, but you know, occasionally we pop in and you know, buzz.
Gotta do the theories. My like sole claim to fame is that I got all of my coworkers into Yellow Jackets. I was like,
good.
You guys gotta watch the show. I was so proud of it. But was incredibly thrilled when those Seal drops happened. Seal was like one of my parents' favorite artists, and
oh my god,
I don't know. Well, it's too late now. Allegedly, the majority of my mom's like pregnancy / like gonna have the baby playlist was Seal when I was born.
That's wow, so funny.
So Seal has been a part of my life for a very long time.
Wow.
I remember really clearly like dancing to Seal CDs when I was like 7 in our barn. I don't know. My parents love Seal.
Have
He's
your parents
great.
Seen Pop Star Never Stop Never Stopping?
I would never show them that movie, but that is an
There's
incredible
that Seal gag where you need to get them to
Seal.
Show them that scene.
But it's great. It's
on
great.
This on the soundtrack though, I feel like also like we would be remiss to not mention the score, because I feel like the two sort of go hand in hand. Like, this score is so fucking amazing. Like, those opening credits when, like, the theme is roaring and it is, like, this, the 90s Batman music hits so...
so good.
Like, God, the animated show.
Epic.
This, it's exactly, it's epic. And, like, you have the titles flying in and, like, this neon.
Flying around.
Crazy. They're like, you want to get hyped for Batman? We got you. Val Kilmer. You're like, oh, let's go.
Jim Carrey. Like, right. Like, they might as well have like a goofy announcer, yes. like
SNL
at a basketball
style.
Game, being like, starting at guard. Literally. Jim Carrey. Like, that's how it feels like you're at like a sporting event. Like, it's just so like, the titles are flying at my face. Yes. It's incredible.
Yeah. That's the movie in general, though. It's like yelling at you, but like in the best way.
And I think that that's really like, this to me is the tone that Batman should be, or a version of this. Like, it, when you really look at the elements that are making up like this character in this world, it's so campy, it's so much fun. Like,
yeah,
I love creativity. I think people should do whatever they want with the characters that they want to an extent, but like, to me, this just like really sort of like crystallizes the tone that makes Batman fun and like is relatable to kids. I think that this is a movie that is totally appropriate for kids.
Totally.
Potential horniness notwithstanding.
I mean,
it's family
Nicole
friendly
Kidman
horniness.
Really getting into black, like rubber, that whole thing is but
obsessed.
Yeah. We're like the tri-fireman, less to take off. I don't mind the work.
This is like maybe like the horniest movie that you could show to kids and they might not get.
Where it's fine.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, like it might be okay because it might go over their heads.
Right.
But like, this is such a horny movie.
Yeah.
It varies deeply.
Honestly, you know, not to pat ourselves too much on the back, but I feel like it's horny in the way that like Joel Schumacher, like a queer person, is gonna make a movie horny after years of practice having to be like, well, gotta get it past the censors, like can't
exactly
let anything pop too much, but like if you're smart, you know, like I love Batman Returns, but like Michelle Pfeiffer in black leather is very different than Val Kilmer in black leather.
Yes.
There's just like a certain distinction that I think Joel Schumacher knows.
The sexualizing
how
is
to
a
play
little different. Yeah.
Very well. But then it's like you have a Batman full of statues of naked men holding up buildings.
Right.
Yeah.
I have a Joel Schumacher quote that ties to this that I would like to read really quickly. He said, "I have often been criticized for objectifying men and women sexually in my films. I have yet to find out what the bad part of that is."
King. That rules. That's so funny.
He's such a legend.
Oh,
we've
God, I mean,
talked about him once before. We talked about The Lost Boys, and like he was just such
his body
a character.
Talk about a queer classic.
Oh, yeah.
His body count.
That's where I thought you were going.
Yeah.
Like that he slept with like 1,000+ people or whatever.
Yeah. And it was like, how is that even humanly possible? And then we calculated it and we were like, he had to have sex with like 8 people a week or something insane.
Yeah.
To actually make
Incredible.
Those numbers. Yeah.
And he had a successful career at the same time.
Right. How does he have the time?
I don't know.
It's great. Crazy. I think eventually we'll make our way through most of his movies. We were toying around with doing a Schumacher month at some point, but then it's like we did The Lost Boys and then we were like, it's too late.
We have
just
to just keep
full
doing
throttle.
Them. Yeah.
And it's so nice because Batman Forever, we were sort of saving it.
But it's nice
up
to like,
until a point.
Kind of like visit them because I feel like if you like take them in
like going
all
home,
at once, it's
going
a little
to
bit
Gotham.
A lot, you know?
Yeah, yeah.
But,
yeah, and it's sort of like, it's a nice reminder because they are so campy and so over the top that like you don't get desensitized to them if you do them in spurts.
Yes.
Yeah. Oh, it's the best.
Is there any, I'm trying to think of like major plot things that, or like sequences that are super important
movie.
Or fun.
I think it really is about the sequencing.
The layer, I just want to say, I really like the layers in this movie. I wish we had more layers. I think every movie should have a layer. That's my new belief.
Well, like everyone had their own layer. Like everyone had their own environment. Like Riddler had his little like workshop. And it's so specifically him.
Yes.
And then, like, Two-Face has his, like, cut in half room.
Exactly, yeah. The Riddler's guy that looks exactly like him.
His Zoltar type thing.
Oh, my God. Yeah. Amazing. And then he's, like, dressed like him the first time he shows up.
Yeah. Amazing.
As the Riddler, you're like, did you take the outfit off the mannequin?
He took the outfit. 100%
did, yes.
Off the mannequin.
He absolutely did. It's a good thing. They're both sample size.
There we go.
It's like he has a little bobblehead, too, of the Riddler. And it's like, were they selling these toys, like,
He's a crafty boy, okay? Mm. He's an artiste.
How did he have his own merch
before
he had a name?
Like, he knew.
Like, playing the IP game. Yes.
He's a forward thinker.
Allegedly, Jim Carrey wanted to shave a question mark into his hair for this movie and was not able to do it because he was finalizing his divorce in court at the same time that he was filming this movie and didn't want to appear unprofessional. God forbid.
I think showing up to a divorce hearing with a question mark shaved in your head, especially if your hair is dyed bright pink.
Yes.
Like you don't have an answer for your honor and you just go bent over.
You just turn around.
It's great. But yes, I love Two-Face's lair too. It's so like operatic. It's giving me very like Phantom of the Opera vibes because he's fancy.
Yeah.
He's high class. Not only does he has his little like angel and devil girl, but like he has this huge spread of dinner. He has like the big chair, these high ceilings.
It's opulent. Like it is like very extravagant home furnishings. I feel like we mentioned Drew Barrymore, but I don't know that we mentioned Debbie Mazar, who also is amazing. They're both so hot and so amazing, but also at the same time are such like terrible, like it's like that unfortunate thing
hot
of like,
women,
they're just hot girls that
that's all they're
that
there
they,
for.
You don't even know that they don't even say their actual names,
which is
in
Sugar
like
and Spice,
good and bad,
for
which
the
are
record,
Sugar
which
and
is
Spice
hilarious.
They're like props, which is like, I mean, it's, I don't know like what else you would like, there's so much going on in this movie. Like, are you gonna have like a whole other like storyline with them? Like, maybe they're starting a small business.
It's
like,
two
I don't
broke
know what they're
girls.
Doing. Maybe they're the ones that decorated. Like, maybe they're great decor.
Yeah. Maybe they're lesbian minds. Lovers. We'll never know.
But like,
I bet they
things.
Are.
Yes,
I'm gonna go with yes.
Well,
because I
certainly
just think we want that.
Two-Face and the Riddler
and
are not paying
it.
Any attention to them.
No,
so.
They're all fucking.
No, like, not at all.
It's they're kind of there to be their arm candy, which is fine. It's yes, literally, Beards. Like literally, they serve no purpose to the story. It was very weird to see them pop up, though. I was like, oh, I love seeing acclaimed actors and actresses appear in things in the background.
It's wild.
A little game of Where's Waldo?
No, yeah, there's. It's an incredible cast, and the last time I looked, the like Ed Begley Jr. as the guy at Wayne Enterprises or whatever, I don't even think he's credited on IMDb.
That is
last
insane.
Time I looked, he
it's
wasn't
nuts.
Uncredited cameo. A young Jon Favreau is in this movie.
Wild.
Yes.
Wild.
Yes.
Did not recognize
I didn't
him.
That.
Spotted his name in the credits. Was like, excuse me, had to go Google it. Would never have recognized him.
Pre-director Favreau.
Yeah. Crazy. Let's see. The one sequence I wanted to talk about, it's more of a runner than a sequence, but the Riddler's riddles are hilarious. It is so convoluted.
They're so easy.
Yes.
Easy. Which is funny because if you've watched the 1960s Batman,
those words,
so
I don't think
hard.
They're actually real. They don't, like, I just get, I'm like, no, I'm not Batman. I'm dumb. You win.
Yeah.
Like, I love that they gave him, they're like, okay, your whole deal, you're the Riddler, which means you got to do riddles, okay? That's your thing. You got to do the riddles. They give him, like, two riddles, and then that is it. It is no longer a part of the storyline, and he's just, like, making a set-top DVR blender machine. Like,
they were like, audiences won't
like
really know.
Guy.
They're like, people are dumb, so let's just, like, cut that down.
I got
bit.
The riddles before Batman did. That's not
love
good.
To see it.
You don't want that to happen.
Riddler was definitely bullied if he was doing riddles on like the playground. People were like, shut the fuck up with your riddles. Like, my God.
I don't even understand how they make the connection between him mystery, which is what his riddles spell out, and or Mr. T. Fucking ridiculous. And Enigma. Like, I don't even think that they... I don't even think they make that jump, though. But all of a sudden, he's like, of course.
Yes.
It's amazing. Speaking on the riddles from the 60s, Batman, yeah. though, I can't believe I have something to contribute to this. But
let's go.
Friend of the pod, Kayla Faniff. I don't know if you saw her Twitter recently, but she was watching 60s Batman and was, I believe, and like was talking about one of the riddles that the Riddler gives. It's something about, like, I'm yellow and I write, what am I? And Batman and Robin are trying to figure it out, and Robin goes, a ballpoint banana. It is ridiculous. It makes no sense.
That Robin says in that movie is so good. It's iconic. Oh, all of, like, the holy cows. Yeah,
yeah, holy cow, holy,
because, like, also Rob, like, the riddling guessing on that, like, Robin's always, like, so off the mark, and then Adam West is like, no, it's this,
of course, naturally.
And it's always just, like, the Riddler stuff on the old Batman is always so funny because none of it makes a yes. lick of sense. And you have Batman being like, well, actually, this is actually this because this. And this is very clever and I figured it out. And everyone's always like, what the fuck are you talking
about? He is the world's greatest detective.
That's true. He was also the first well-actually-er. He was ahead of the curve.
Boo hiss.
We love to see it.
It's great. Apparently, they recruited someone who does crosswords for the New York Times to help with the riddles for this movie. Could have maybe given him a little bit of a pay bump for some more difficult riddles. But I love it. They are ridiculous. I love his little crafty cards that he makes to go along with them. It's very after school art class.
Absolutely. I love when he like realizes that Batman is just repressed and just like leans into it, and he's just like, oh, everything about this man is repression.
It's about the bats. It's all about the bats.
Which is so queer.
Yes.
Absolutely.
Not the bats part, the repression part, but maybe the bats part.
A little bit
too.
Of both,
bats,
you know?
Probably a little bit of
our bats.
I mean, yeah, it's great. They do the whole like Wayne parents backstory,
of course, yeah.
going into a cave
with
bats.
Yes.
The giant bat is wonderful.
It's fucking amazing.
Even without the man bat hybrid lost to time, like the actual image of just like the giant bat in like bat signal form flapping is great.
I mean, yeah, Carly, you were there any huge things you caught from watching that like making of, or did they like talk about that like sequence or?
To be fair, I only watched part of the making of because then I got distracted and I really want to finish watching it. Not distracted, I got busy, but like I really, really want to finish watching it because the scene with the gigantic man bat is wild. I had heard like the lore about it.
Right.
Like, you know, then the idea of like the Schumacher cut, which, you know, it would be cool if they ever released that. But also just having these deleted scenes with zero sound effects or music behind them is
much better.
They have the gnat sound from shooting.
From
like
set.
You can just hear. You can just kind of hear the like room tone.
Yes.
It's so
cool.
Awkward. And they're not like 100% edited. There's no visual effects. They're so awkward.
We have to share these.
There's a whole. I found a whole playlist of them on YouTube. But I think they're from like the Blu-ray or the DVD or whatever.
We will tweet some of them because I feel.
The original opening scene of the movie is Harvey Dent escaping from Arkham, and that is one of the deleted scenes. And
that would kind of rule.
It's kind of great.
But he has to get takeout, Jordan. He has to get takeout.
Because then they had to use that in the McDonald's commercial. That was important.
Right. Oh, my God. The tie-in.
Yeah. Marketing is king. I think that, like, superhero movies, I think that people forget, have always been very trust the process because you are just on set in a bunch of latex talking to a giant bat and trusting that children are going to want to see this and carry a lunchbox that has you on it. It's pretty impressive. I also love that Joel Schumacher was, like, very committed to making, like, a darker and more serious version of this film that dug into Batman's past trauma. And, of course, the way to do that was to have him talk to a giant man bat. I mean,
yes,
nothing screams prestige like a literal man in a bat costume.
It's so ridiculous.
This is why Schumacher is
the thing is, he also was trying to make more serious movies, as you were saying. Yeah. It's like, this is his serious movie.
This is his
version.
My
God.
And it's
I guess there's a more serious, like the supposed Schumacher cut is like a little darker and more serious and does spend more time on the psychology of Batman and his trauma with like Dr. Chase and whatever he's doing in his cave. But like, you know, they wanted to make a big Jim Carrey movie, and that's what we got, for better or for worse. I think it's wonderful. And if,
yeah, it's great.
And if the scenes they cut are anything like the deleted scenes I watched, it's fine. It's fine that we didn't get there.
Yeah.
There's hard to judge, there's a lot happening in this movie.
There's so much.
The little sort of like leftover bits of like, ooh, Batman psychology are hilarious. But like, I do think would come across like a little boring. There's obviously a great gag when he goes and looks at the Rorschach test and he's like, oh, it's a bat. And she's like, it could be anything. First of all, it's clearly a bat.
It looks so much like a bat.
It would be amazing if it, like, it would have been funnier if it was just like nothing. Like, it was impossible to break. And he's like, I see a bat. And she's like, you do?
You do, but yeah,
that would have been much, like, this is so much funnier, but like, that would have been like better, like, for the story and for his journey. Like, yes, that would have made so much more sense with the fact that it's like clearly a, they might as well have just been like a photo of a bat.
Literally.
And she's like, people see what they want.
It's the bat signal.
it's a photo of him standing in front of the bat signal, and he's like, she's like, people just see what they want
to
see in this image. He's
like,
it's
to tell you.
Batman. Oh,
so wild. I think there's one review that is stuck in my craw just on Nicole, where someone said that this is the movie that Nicole should be watching during the AMC ad. And
I
agree.
Would love that.
And I also wonder if her doing this just led to the eventual role of being the lead of AMC. Like, do you think AMC execs like think back fondly on Batman Forever?
Probably not. Have to be honest with you.
Wait, now all I want is to get the video of the commercial of her at the AMC and just cut in her watching scenes from Batman Forever. Like,
I was going to say, we need to like find the clip show that played at the Destroyer screening and sync it into the AMC ad so it's Nicole Kidman watching her own clip show.
No, there wasn't nearly enough Batman Forever in it. It was a real tragedy.
I'm glad that they included it because honestly, she looks like incredible in this movie.
She looks so good in this movie, and that shot of her with the sheet is
wonderful.
Exquisite, and she looks incredible. But the fact that it was one shot that in no way looked like a Batman movie is
funniest
thing.
But they weren't counting on Carly.
They did not know that such a Batman Forever stan would be in the audience. And I'm like, I would have walked out if they didn't have anything in there. I would have just been like, this is bullshit.
Speaking of release and reception, I'm so curious, Carly, for your personal history with this movie, have you always been a fan? Did you have a fallow period when you were like, oh, people didn't like it, I have to keep it under wraps? Or have you just like stumped for this movie forever?
I loved it the second I saw it, and I've only grown to love it more over the years as I've gotten older and seen how people generally don't like it. That's just made me want to love it even more.
Did you have friends who've already established that
none of us had friends first of all,
but like in school, like, were like, what was the reception like? Were people like, fuck this, or were they like kind of on board? Or
I gotta tell you, I don't remember at all. I know that like Batman was a very, like, Batman was like the most popular thing at the time. So I don't remember at all what people were saying about it at the time. I just remember being so like in love with it.
I would be very impressed if you remembered that.
I wouldn't.
That's a deep, deep core memory. Did you have any people that you knew growing up, Jordan, who were fans of this?
Well, not, I don't know about
Did
like
Did you have a late
fans?
Stage recognition with it?
I feel like I've just always kind of had a fondness, though, for this and Batman and Robin, just because it was sort of like the ones I grew up with. So, like, I was just immediately kind of drawn to the campier Schumacher ones. Like, as I've said before, and I've litigated many a time, Batman, the animated series, is, like, I think the perfect Batman. Like, that's the iteration I think is the best, where it, like, walks that line where it's, like, campy and like has fun cartoonish elements. Like, the Mark Hamill Joker is incredible, but also it's like you have a little brooding in there, you know? So like, growing up then, I feel like that was just sort of the cultural cachet that I had and carried forward with me. Yeah,
it's cool. I love it. I love hearing about people's relationships with Batman. I feel like it colors their character for me, because I don't know, I have none of my own thoughts, except
you're making your own identity. Your own secret identity.
It's great. I adored this movie. Unfortunately,
did it do with the public?
Because the thing is, even though reviews were mixed to negative, like Carly said, this movie made money, like crazy amounts of money. It opened number one in the middle of June 1995. It played through November. They would like give it a boost. Like they gave it a boost in the middle of August where they like doubled the
screen. It was in theaters for 6 months. Jesus Christ.
That will never happen again.
Yeah. Like we said, this was the number one highest grossing film of 1997. It made $184 million domestic and $336 million worldwide.
Oh my God.
On a $100 million production budget, which like is could be higher.
Yeah, it could be higher too. Yeah.
Yeah. Obviously, this is like an incredibly star-studded movie and looks incredible. Yeah. But like this movie looks very good.
It does.
And it is that, not to be like, yeah, nowadays, but like is that old-fashioned like...
You can
almost entirely
colors,
practical
Brooke. Color.
Yeah.
Color.
Haze. Smoke. The feeling of rubber.
Even the poster. It's,
all,
it's like,
yeah.
Like nowadays, contrast. All these comic book posters are like just the faces and they all look the same. But like this movie is just the faces, but like
it's a little
distinct.
Bit of a facey poster.
And like the font of this movie is fucking amazing. Like,
yeah,
it's
this
like,
movie had a signature font and.
Right?
And it was very specific.
Yeah.
Yeah. So it did really well, and I'm really glad that it's had sort of like a critical reclamation, and I feel like Joel Schumacher has had something very similar. It does suck that a lot of it was posthumously or right. like near the end of his life, but I mean, we are obviously all huge fans, and like he left such an imprint on, I feel like, not only sort of comic book and superhero filmmaking, but like this sector of filmmaking yeah. in general, and all of his stuff is so interesting. I love it. It makes me
love
happy.
The King.
Yeah.
Return of the King.
Return of the King. So, do we want to see how this
how
movie
did
has
on Letterboxd?
Fared with the youths,
let's
with
do
the
it.
Young people?
No, this is,
what
did
I feel like I probably gave it 5 stars on Letterboxd.
As you should.
Me.
If I would be shocked if you gave it lower.
I,
that's the correct rating.
I'm going to guess that it did. It's not that beloved.
Okay.
I'm going to give it, I think, better than Batman and Robin for sure, but I don't think that high. I'm going to go like 3-2.
Okay. Jordan says 3-2.
I feel like that's low, but I don't know.
Carly, would you care to put in a guess?
Oh, that's so hard. I'm going to... I was thinking like mid twos. Like I had no confidence in the Letterboxd audience to appreciate this film, but I could be wrong.
Okay. I mean, I have bad news for you, Jordan. It's a 2.4.
Oh, my
it's
God.
It's low. It's really low. Most people gave this movie
2.4?
2 stars, which I think is ridiculous. We do have a tiny little
that's
smattering of 5 stars, but like.
Messed up.
It's pretty rude.
2.4?
I know. But I will say.
I was a whole almost star off. Fuck.
Yeah, that was bad. That was not good. 225,000 people on Letterboxd have seen this. It's probably right in the middle of our popularity rankings, 11,000 reviews. There are definitely some fans.
Absolutely.
Like,
no, I think there are. I mean, on Twitter, if you just search it, it will pop up every once in a while. And people will be like, hey, remember how good this movie is? And people are like, yeah, we were a little too mean on that movie. So
if my tweets didn't auto-delete after a year, you would find a lot of my tweets about this movie if you searched it. But I'm pretty sure they're all gone.
There are definitely people who are in the tank for it. I was surprised though. I was expecting like more love for it, but a lot of people are like, this movie is amazing, 3 stars. I'm like, right. Guys, come on.
I think we don't know what words mean anymore, let's be honest.
Yeah, it's yeah. true.
Can't say amazing and then give it 3 stars. It's ridiculous.
That's extremely rude.
Brooke,
so
speaking of stars, where is it landing on the queer quadrant for you?
Okay, well,
how gay is this movie?
Holy queer content, Batman.
Oh my God.
This thing totally impressed me. I think I loved Carly's analogy about the sort of queer love geometrical shape yet to be determined how many sides it has. Like, this
it's
really...
like there are no sides.
The themes
the
of
thing.
This movie are obsession and duality without these sort of, like, gender roles placed upon them. And like we said, it really is about Batman discovering that he can be both Batman and Bruce Wayne, which
yes.
is the best kind of Batman movie and also the most bisexual kind of Batman movie.
Absolutely.
And this is not even taking into consideration all of the Schumacher business. I... am probably not going to give it 5 stars, but I'm going to be really generous because I thought that, like, thematically it was very deep and give it 4. Good solid 4. Yeah.
That's
how
a good showing.
Yeah.
I think, look, I mean, like, at the end of the day, There will never be a five-star gay Batman movie until he
we
smooches.
Make it happen.
Yes. And
that's the thing.
Everyone's a coward. It yeah. will never happen.
Yeah.
But I will fucking fight for it daily. I know. I completely agree. I think, as we were saying, like, the whole end hinges on Batman. Basically, like, you have Robin and Nicole Kidman, Dr. Chase Meridian, where he has to choose.
Yeah,
and he
correct.
Gets both. So, like, not only is he a bi king, but he can save everybody. I mean, Joel Schumacher, as we've said, there's just so much horny queer sensibilities to it. Whew. You know, I think like a four, it's like between a 4 and a 4.5, I think, for me. So I'll be your side partner and I'll be a 4 as well.
Very
but I feel
nice.
Like it's in that range. Like, it's impossible, I think, to watch this movie and not be like, oh, this is a gay movie. Like, you can't watch it and not think that.
Yes. Mm-hmm. I mean, as Robin says to Batman, or Batman says to Robin, not a friend, a partner.
Mm, yes.
Equal opportunity.
I mean, there's the whole biker thing where he's like, hanging
oh,
out
you
a lot
of
biker bars,
Bruce? Wink, wink. So good. Carly, how are you feeling?
I guess I wanted to say 5, but I feel like
you can
five
go
stars.
5.
I would guess one would want to reserve 5 stars for something with actual overt queerness.
It doesn't need to be
depends.
Overt. It's go kind of go with your gut.
Vote with your heart.
Fine. You know what? My gut says 5 stars. I'm
love it.
Five
Let's
stars.
Go.
I love
yeah.
it. Yeah. I really do think that this is it's a deeply queer movie. And like that's
There's
what we
so
really
yeah.
go off of is like the intent. Because this is all about how you yeah. sneak in the queer content past
totally.
The censors yes. to the blockbuster audience to all these horribly impressionable people getting what?
I'm going to go 4 or 5.
Okay, you yeah. go for it.
I'm just thinking about the gimp suits and the strobe lights and dancing. Like, this is literally like what you see in Los Angeles. Like, that's
I mean,
it's transporting it to the screen. Yeah.
Yeah.
This movie feels like a gay Halloween party.
Exactly.
I mean that in the most complimentary sense.
Yes.
That makes me want to throw a big Halloween party, and the theme is Batman Forever, specifically just Batman Forever.
Wait,
it's a
I'm
good
sorry.
Idea.
Please do it. Please send us the invites. We will be there
in full.
It's been my dream
fits.
To one day dress up as the Riddler for like a Halloween or just a Thursday. So one day
you should.
You should.
I'll get there. We I'll get take there one day. Halloween very seriously.
Oh, yes. So do I.
So much yeah. so that we usually do it twice because one of our friends usually throws a summer Halloween party.
Speaking of. Last year,
yeah.
I was Harley Quinn.
Jordan was Harley Quinn. And
amazing. I love that.
Yeah.
Love
I that. Was Hercules. It's like a
yes.
gender where you're
right,
like
yeah.
you pick
gender
a character
bend.
And you bend their gender however you want to.
That's fun.
But it's really
that
about vibes. It's great. It's so much fun. Anyway, we take Halloween very seriously. I would absolutely love to see a Batman Forever
you would
Halloween
kill
party.
A Riddler fit.
Yeah, yes. I
Thank
completely
you.
Agree.
Thank you. I... One day.
The
yeah.
question
work
is,
on my
though,
cane twirl.
A fact. Do you go, though? Do you go suit? Do you go sparkly silver? Sparkly green? There's so many options in this movie.
There's so many options. Yeah. I think it's probably going to be like a game day decision because it's going to depend on how good of shape I'm in.
What you can find. I will say the suit is clean.
The suit is major. Like yeah. I think about that suit a lot.
It's a good suit.
He's so flamboyant. Like, the Riddler has yeah. this many outfits. Like, how is he not gay?
Well,
sorry.
Hey, I mean, who says he's not? I say
exactly.
he is.
Exactly.
That's true.
And that's
no
what
one,
I have to say about
at
that.
No point in the movie does the Riddler say, hi, I'm the Riddler. I'm a heterosexual.
Right.
And that's how we know
yeah.
that there's room for him to be queer.
He's like,
also,
riddle me
all
this,
the
Batman.
Evidence that is present.
I'm gay.
Yeah. I just assume that all characters are queer unless they explicitly say that they're straight. Mm. That's how
yeah.
it works.
Yes.
Yeah.
Amazing.
Carly,
anyways,
thank you so much for being here. Seriously, I'm so glad you chose this movie. It was amazing. Couldn't have thought of a better person to come and talk about it.
I'm just so thrilled I finally had a moment to have an outlet for my intense love of this film.
That's our goal.
We love
always
to see it.
Thank you for allowing me to have that. And oh, thank you for having me as a guest. This was so much fun.
Always.
You are the best, listeners. If you do not know who Carly is, you should obviously change that. They are amazing. And if people want to check you out and see more of your work, where can they find you and what are you up to?
All my work and stuff is always at my website, which, why am I saying it like that? It's my name.com, carlyhouston.com.
Riddle me this.
Riddle me this, Batman. What has a URL? It's a website. He's trying to say website. Yes, I haven't developed that joke further. Riddle. It would be Riddle. Never mind. We should cut that.
No, well, never.
Keeping in.
I'm hitting that part of the day where I've lost my mind. I'm Carlytron on Twitter and Instagram. And I don't have anything new coming out in the foreseeable future. But if I do, it'll be in all those places.
Incredible.
Beautiful. We love to see it.
Yeah. We are not nearly as exciting, but we are also on social media.
Oh my God.
I'm at Brooke B. Solomon on Twitter. Almost forgot to say the Twitter part.
Jordan H. Gus.
On Twitter.
I was going to mix those letters up and create a riddle.
Good luck with that. And Sus. No, you don't have two S's. I don't know. We'll figure it out. And we're together on Twitter at Queer Quadrant. And you can find this podcast on Spotify and on Apple in various layers of Gotham or wherever else you like to get your podcasts. Drop us a rate. Drop us a review. Drop us a subscribe. It really does help.
Tell your bat friends to listen.
Tell all of your
partners.
Your bat friends.
Or your Robins.
Your local comic store guy. Okay. Shout out to them.
Rogues Gallery. Your Rogues Gallery of Arkham Asylum villains.
That's true. Honestly, that's really what I want to work towards is my life is getting a Rogues Gallery of villains. Like, I really want to start to amass a group of villains that all have quirky personalities.
I would consider myself part of that.
Yeah, that's what I was saying in the beginning.
Yeah, I know.
Great.
And you can tweet at us. Tell us what you think about this movie. Talk to us about your gay Batman headcanons. We want to hear them. And also let us know what you might like to see us cover in the future.
And what are we covering in the future?
We are hopping forward just a couple of years to 1997 to cover an underseen classic, but one that hit our 1,000 screen criteria nonetheless.
It
is the Kevin Klein vehicle In and Out, a movie that I had no knowledge of until it was brought up for this podcast and thoroughly delighted me.
Are we going to go in or are we going to go out?
I don't know. You'll just have to wait and see. Maybe we'll go in and out.
Ooh.
The bisexual agenda. Don't know what to tell you.
Carly, do you have a take on In and Out? Quick thumbs. Yes, no.
As a queer elder, apparently, is what I'm realizing today. I was very fond of the film when it came out.
I think it's great.
But again, I was like 15, so what did I know?
We love to see that, though.
I truly loved it.
Spoiler, great movie.
That episode is already in the can. It's a good one. So that is coming to you next week.
And Brooke, do you have anything you would like to leave our listeners with?
In order to be a henchman in Gotham, you got to hang out at biker bars and dress in a lot of leather. I'm sorry, I don't make the rules.